From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, one of Nancy Pelosi's top legislative priorities will be on the House floor this week, H.R. 1, a sweeping piece of legislation that federalizes the nation's election system and, according to proponents, strengthens ethics rules for elected officials. However, opponents say it weakens safeguards to voting and registration practices that open the door to fraud, misuses taxpayer funds, and attempts to limit free speech. Even the left-leaning ACLU says it is unconstitutional. Illinois Congressman Rodney Davis, the ranking member on the House Administration Committee, is here later in the program with the details. But first, with Hillary Clinton announcing she will not run for president in 2020, what will the deplorables do? Well, not to worry. It appears Joe Biden will take her place in labeling Bible-believing Christians in derogatory terms. We'll talk about his latest retreat when he called Vice President Pence a decent guy but backtracked after an outcry from LGBT activists. Is this a harbinger of things to come? And with large corporations like Walmart and PayPal using their influence and profits to promote liberal social positions, what can conservatives do to counter this growing trend of left-leaning corporate activism? Dr. David Black with Second Vote has the answer. Also, the infamous Southern Poverty Law Center is out with a new list of hate groups. PJ Media's Tyler O'Neill exposes the group for inflating the numbers. I'll ask him why the deception later here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T. Perkins. Let me remind you, the campaign to end birthday abortions is underway. In the first part of April, about 1 month from now, a discharge petition, which requires 218 signatures of members of the House, will be ready and active. That means when 218 members sign it, the bill that would end birthday abortions will go to the House floor. Now, we've got to get 218 signatures onto that, and so we will be working hard to get that accomplished. But to send the message to Nancy Pelosi, who is blocking a vote on this bill, we're going to send her 90,000 newborn baby hats to be a part of this campaign to end birthday abortions. Go to TonyPerkins.com. It's at the top of the page. Join us, share it with your friends, put it out on Facebook, on your Twitter, however, take it, print it off, and take it to church. We need as many people as possible to join in this campaign to end birthday abortions. Also, as I mentioned yesterday, General Jerry Boykin and I will be in Houma, Louisiana, First Baptist Houma, for a men's event, Stand in the Gap. That is March 15th and 16th. To find out more, also go to TonyPerkins.com. All right, it's going to take some clever strategists to get liberals out of the box they've put themselves in for the 2020 presidential election. In a field of Green Deal infanticide, open border socialists, Joe Biden actually seemed like a semi-moderate choice for voters. But that all fell apart last week when he apologized for throwing a lukewarm compliment toward Mike Pence. Now, here's how it all started. Last Thursday, during a forum in global leadership at the University of Nebraska in Omaha, former Vice President Joe Biden said this about Mike Pence. Play clip number one.
One of our closest allies, Germany, Angela Merkel, stood up and excoriated the United States and said Europe has to think about going it alone because we can't count on the United States anymore. The fact of the matter is, it was followed on by a guy who's a decent guy, our Vice President, who stood before this group of allies and leaders and said, I'm here on behalf of President Trump. And there was dead silence.
Now, that comment was made, as I mentioned, last week, last Thursday, at a forum in global leadership at the University of Nebraska. Now, he was talking about Vice President Pence, who was over in Europe, discussing the Iran deal that the United States is pulling out of a number of these things, and so that Merkel said that they were going to have to go it alone. The point being that Joe Biden said, look, there was a decent guy there. I had to go back up on stage and follow the silence. Well, it didn't take long. LGBT activists like Cynthia Nixon were furious that Joe Biden referred to Mike Pence as a decent guy. tweeting that Pence is America's most anti-LGBT leader. Now, please consider how this falls on the ears of our community. Now, the chastened former vice president quickly apologized. Quote, "You're right, Cynthia. I was making a point in a foreign policy context that under normal circumstances, a vice president wouldn't be given a silent reaction on the world stage. But there is nothing decent about being anti-LGBTQ rights, and that includes the vice president." Well, it didn't stop there, because over the weekend, Senator Elizabeth Warren, from Massachusetts, piled on, proving that she may have less civility in her blood than Native American. When she was asked what she thought about Biden's reversal, Warren said, quote, "I'm sorry. I followed Pence's history on LGBTQ Americans, and I don't think that is a decent position. I disagree." And when it came time to distinguish between the position and the man, Warren couldn't. She was asked, what about Pence as a person? Does she believe he is decent? A reporter asked. No, Warren replied. Now, the biggest question then is the one Warren wasn't asked, or Biden. Is anyone who holds a biblical view of sexuality decent? Because if they aren't, then their campaigns aren't about winning office, but about marginalizing nearly half of the country. Now, believe it or not, if you read the press or listen to the mainstream media, you wouldn't believe this. But a plurality of Americans still hold the indecent position in their minds that marriage is between a man and a woman, including the Democratic-leaning voters McLaughlin and Associates polled after the 2018 midterms. Now, are they bad people too? Because that's the implication here. Now, every voter needs to follow this thinking to its logical conclusion, and not just on marriage and sexuality, but on abortion too. You know, Democrats like Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren aren't just taking an opposing view, and that's fine. I mean, they can do that. I mean, that's what makes our system work. You can have differing views. You can get out there. You can talk about them. You can argue for your positions. At the end of the day, we reach consensus. But they're degrading the actual people who disagree with their positions. It's not the disagreement. It's the degrading. And that's exactly how repressive, tyrannical regimes get started. They dehumanize their enemies so that they can push them aside, persecute them, and ultimately eliminate them. Of course, the liberal disdain of mainstream America is nothing new. It's as old as Barack Obama's bitter clingers and as costly as Hillary Clinton's basket of deplorables. So let's follow the left's line of reasoning, because this is important, folks. I want you to hear this and understand what's taking place here. They have not piled on Mike Pence because he is some kind of narcissistic jerk. He is the opposite. He is a man who operates with a servant's heart. I've known him for over 20 years. In fact, knew him before he got into public office, back when he was a radio talk show host. I was on his program. The reason they publicly disdain him is because he is a Bible-believing Christian. Now, why does that matter? Because the Bible, the Word of God, the Word from the Creator, defines gender and the boundaries of human sexuality, which, if you have not noticed, the left is at odds with. Therefore, they are at odds with anyone aligned with the truth of Scripture. So if you are like Mike Pence and publicly acknowledge that you believe the teaching of Scripture, then you are, according to Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, and a host of others, not a decent human being. Now, I would have thought that after Hillary Clinton's derogatory comment of basket of deplorables, a comment, by the way, which took place after candidate Donald Trump spoke at the Values Voter Summit. She made it that night in front of a gathering of LGBTQ activists. You would have thought that the left would have realized after that comment that you can't insult your way into office. But again, I want to underscore there's something much bigger at play here. This is an effort, and we saw this a month ago? Maybe a little over a month ago, when Mike Pence's wife, Karen, was It was announced that she was going to go back and serve part-time as an art teacher at a local Christian school outside of D.C. And the LGBT, same community, same folks, went crazy because the school has a biblical view of sexuality. And so they were saying that someone in her position should not do that, should not be allowed to do that. Again, the message is, if you're a Christian and you believe the Bible, then you have no place in the public square. We've seen this in the Judiciary Committee. We've talked about this, how they've treated judicial candidates who happen to be Catholic or Christian, Protestant, whatever the faith is, that hold to a biblical view of life and human sexuality. That the message is quite clear. Either you check your faith at the door of public service or you hide it. And folks, we go back to the very founders who recognized, as John Adams said, that our system of government is made for a moral and a religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other. And of course, that's why we see the problems in the fraying of society. It's because we've lost the idea of morality. We've lost religion. We've shoved it to the recesses of society, to the corners. And it's important that we live out our faith, even in the face of opposition. I've told the vice president, I prayed with him, I thanked him for being bold and courageous. In fact, delivered to him the many petitions prayer pledges that people signed on behalf of Karen, and they were very grateful for that. But we can do our part, each and every one of us, where we are. Number one, we need to realize that increasingly in this secular culture, there are those that are making it very clear that there is no room for Orthodox biblical faith. And that message, quite frankly, is unacceptable to me. And it should be unacceptable to you. And in a country where our elections are so narrowly divided, this should underscore for each and every one of us how important these elections are, because I can guarantee you there will be no tolerance, as the right tolerates the left. I mean, we don't want to shut them up, don't want to shut them down. We just don't want them making policy. But they want to shut us up, drive us out of the public square. So it's important that we not back up, not grow silent, but continue to live out our faith, share the gospel, live our lives personally according to the truth of Scripture, and not shrink back from teaching it to our kids and upholding those very standards in our community. And pray for those like Vice President Mike Pence, who are coming under assault because of their faith, and these judicial candidates and other nominees that are serving, and not just nominees, but other elected officials. Increasingly, it's becoming a challenge to be a Christian publicly in our country. But the more of us that stand up and not shrink back, the easier it will become. Okay, more to come. When we come back, corporate America using their influence and profits to push the leftist agenda. What can consumers do? Dr. David Black with Second Vote is here to answer that question. Don't go away. More Washington Watch to come.
Picture it. Majestic beauty all around you. Wildlife, deep blue waters, glacial mountains, lush forests. Can you imagine the majesty of creation at every turn? Discover Alaska with FRC. You'll enjoy every moment of this unforgettable experience. Juno, accessible only by sea and air. Ketchikan and its impressive collection of Native American totem poles. Glacier Bay, a breathtaking wonder. All this, plus a behind-the-scenes look at what Family Research Council is doing in our nation's capital. You'll hear directly from FRC President Tony Perkins, General Jerry Boykin, and Michelle Bachmann. This is no ordinary vacation. You'll be vacationing with the FRC family and a lot of new friends. Be rejuvenated as we deepen our relationships with God and each other. Don't just get away. Get away with purpose on Family Research Council's Alaska Cruise, July 7th through 14th. Call 844-872-5155 to register today or visit us online at frc.org/Alaska.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us. Still to come, Illinois Congressman Rodney Davis is going to be joining us a little bit later in the program to give us the rundown on one of Nancy Pelosi's top legislative priorities, H.R. 1, a sweeping piece of legislation that federalizes the nation's election system. Also, we're going to be getting an update on the Southern Poverty Law Center and their new inflated list of hate groups. But first, corporate America, using its influence and its profits to weigh in on the culture war. How do consumers push back? Joining me now to talk about this is Dr. David Black, the founder and president of SecondVote.com. David, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you very much, Tony. Thank you for having me on the show.
Well, let's talk about really two topics I want to tackle. One, Walmart rolling out an ad featuring two homosexual men on a blind date, a dating show at Walmart's what the ad calls it. I mean, is Walmart going the way of Target with their gender-confused bathrooms and liberal social policies?
Oh, absolutely. If you were to follow Walmart on Second Vote, you would have known for quite a while that they've really taken a sharp left turn. And we score them very badly on the marriage issue and on religious liberty. In fact, overall, they're scored a 1.3, and a 1 being as liberal as you can be. We're on a 5-point scale. 5 is conservative, but they are about as liberal as you can be at a 1.3.
That doesn't add up when you look at their consumer base. I mean, their customers are basically salt of the earth, people mostly in rural, well, not so much anymore, but traditionally rural communities, but it's a conservative customer base, isn't it?
Well, it is, but of course, Tony, they don't put in their advertising what they're supporting with their corporate dollars or really with the shoppers' dollars. They don't ever put into their advertisements what they're actually doing through their corporate activism. And Walmart has been very active on fighting against religious liberty laws in the various states. They have helped support the initiative to allow men into women's bathrooms. And on the marriage issue and religious liberties issue, they've been extremely bad.
All right. So how can folks find this information on Second Vote? Explain to our listeners how that works.
Sure. You can just go to our mobile app, which is Second Vote with the number 2. You can download the app. It's a free app. It's like a voter. You can go on the internet to secondvote.com and just put in the company you're looking for. We've scored over 800 companies that are posted. We've actually scored over 1,000, but we have 800 posted on our website and on the app. And you could look up the company that you may have interest in.
Now, Dr. Black, the purpose of this second vote, the name is descriptive. We vote once at the ballot box for the policies that and the people that will promote the policies we want. But then there's a second vote increasingly with this corporate activism that consumers need to vote with their dollars based upon how these corporations are using both their influence and profits.
Yes, I'm afraid the left for the last 50 years has realized that they can change our culture through the through shopping dollars, retail dollars, and conservatives and Christians have just not paid attention. And so it's really follow the money. Yes, you get a chance to vote every day with your dollar, if you can align it with your values. And if you're shopping at Walmart or Target, you're shopping with organizations that are really attacking traditional Judeo-Christian American values.
And Dr. Black, increasingly we see it's not just the big box stores like Walmart and Target, but even online where we see, PayPal, a massive operation in terms of kind of a financial institution, but, regulating speech and trying to really cut down access to, financial markets based upon people's views that they disagree with.
You know, it's remarkable. What we have are a crop of corporate leaders today that believe they enjoy the right to use shareholder dollars or the dollars of the corporation to live out their value system. And therefore, they have access to a lot of dollars and to create a lot of influence. And frankly speaking, I think it's fiduciary irresponsibility. They are taking shareholder dollars to advance ideology. And they really have a responsibility to return those dollars to their investors, which they are not doing. So it's interesting that we've got these individuals who are very egocentric. They are looking to put in place a set of values that are contrary to America. And they're at the moment not being held accountable by their shareholders.
What are you hearing from your contacts in corporate America as a result of people taking action on the information that they're finding at Second Vote?
Well, we have had influence. We have managed to help influence a number of Fortune 500 companies to discontinue funding of Planned Parenthood. We have helped push back on some of these regulations that are looking to interfere with religious liberty. So we, in fact, 2 years ago, one great example we give is that Macy's department stores had their PR department contact us and asked us to change their score on the life issue because they were discontinuing their funding of abortion. But, it's a big battle because we are really outgunned by the other side. The liberals are putting a lot of money into driving their values into our society.
So this is where Christian conservative consumers need to speak with their dollars and take the time to look at where the values of these corporations either line up or are in conflict with their own, and then look for alternatives in terms of how they spend their money.
Absolutely. We always suggest that you shop locally first with people you know, you go to church with or Rotary and folks you know their values. Try to shop local if you can. It's kind of funny, the further a dollar gets away from you and out of your community, the more it engages in mischief, just like your tax dollar. And if you
Good
can keep
point.
The dollar close to home, you can perhaps enhance your community, support your community. But the big boxes, the dollars, the way they're spending your spending dollars, your retail dollars, is against most folks' values.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, we are going to encourage people to continue to use that app to download if they have not. Dr. David Black, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, pleasure to be with you. Thank you, Tony. Take care.
All right, folks, just about out of time, but download that app, secondvote.com, and shop locally. I've pretty much stopped shopping at Walmart. I go to local stores. All right, when we come back, SPLC, inflating the numbers. That's next.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy that inspire us from childhood, such as unicorns and the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being, from the Loch Ness Monster to big tax refunds. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. Since 1973, these abortion myths have grown a substantial foothold in developing a climate of fear, misinformation, and a culture of death in the United States. In FRC's new analysis, learn whether most Americans support abortion on demand, and if a fetus does in fact feel pain in the womb. Join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
You are listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Still to come, Illinois Congressman Rodney Davis is going to be joining us a little bit later to give us a rundown on one of Nancy Pelosi's top legislative priorities, H.R. 1, which will be on the floor this week, a sweeping piece of legislation that federalizes the nation's election system. We'll dissect that a little bit later. Also at the website, TonyPerkins.com. End birthday abortion. Help us send a strong message to Nancy Pelosi. It's time to end infanticide, the murder of babies in this country. All right. If you're listening to this program for any length of time, you've probably heard the Southern Poverty Law Center, a notorious group that, peddles hate in order to make money. But they recently, I think it was last week before last, released their hate list, their hate map for 2018. And according to my next guest, who went through and analyzed their list, they're inflating their numbers. Tyler O'Neill is with PJ Media, and he joins us now. Tyler, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. Glad to be here.
So I'm struggling to really come to terms with this, but the Southern Poverty Law Center is being deceptive in their numbers?
Yeah, you don't say. Not exactly that surprising, but the magnitude of the lie really is.
Now, according to your article, and I read it completely because I had a hunch that that was the case when I first saw their list. So I'm going to ask the obvious question. Why are they inflating their numbers?
Well, the Southern Poverty Law Center makes its money by selling a narrative that the United States is a country that is full of hate. It's full of hate against people of all races, and it's full of hate especially against LGBT people and people who are Muslim. The interesting thing is they never have any anti-Christian hate or anti-conservative hate. Almost all of their groups that they mark as hate groups tend to fall on the right side of the spectrum. And they don't make any bones about it. They attack the Trump administration, and they had a huge picture of Vice President Mike Pence in their latest quote-unquote intelligence report, accusing him of hate because of his conservative Christian views.
I mean, they've become nothing more than an attack dog for the left, but yet the mainstream media continues to give them credibility by referencing them as an objective source when it comes to hate groups.
Yeah. Yeah, it is funny to me how frequently the mainstream media just does that. Most recently, we had a case where, there was this really horrible poster with Rashida Tlaib and the 9/11, the Twin Towers attack, suggesting that because Tlaib is a Muslim, she's somehow connected to it. That was horrible, and it was displayed along with signs for Act for America, which is a pro-American, anti-illegal immigration, and a warning about Sharia law groups. The SPLC has called it an anti-Muslim hate group, and almost every single outlet reporting on the story references the label as though it was, as though it were unquestionable. And, yeah.
But increasingly, and I think you made reference to this in your story, which people can read at tonyperkins.com, is that they've got some chinks in the armor, SPLC. They're taking some hits because of their looseness. I'll put that in a nice term, looseness with the facts.
Yes, they've been sued by a whole bunch of different organizations. Actually, one of the most recent, last Thursday, they got sued again by the American Freedom Law Center. Well, they didn't actually sue the SPLC, but they sued Michigan for using the SPLC as the main source on hate groups. But they had to pay a $3.375 million settlement for slamming Majid Nawaz, who is a Muslim, by the way, a Muslim reformer. They called him an anti-Muslim extremist. And
yeah,
that was a very important defamation settlement, because defamation usually doesn't get that kind of settlement.
Right, and they wanted to settle because they don't want the... they don't want people digging into their files with any kind of lawsuits that would, once you do the discovery, that becomes very problematic for them. But before we run out of time, Tyler, as you look through the list, tell our listeners how they multiplied or inflated their numbers. How'd they go about that?
Yeah, no, this is a very key thing to understand. They count every single chapter of one of their quote-unquote hate groups as a separate group. So when the SPLC says there are 1,000 hate groups in the United States, even by their own reckoning, there aren't 1,000 hate organizations. By their reckoning, there are 354 actual quote-unquote hate groups. And I know at least 19 of them are not hate groups, including, the Family Research Council.
Right.
So that is the number that's 335.
So before long,
hate groups, so they can plot them on their hate map.
Right. So before long, as they need to continue to increase their numbers to justify their existence, they'll probably go to membership, and every member will represent a new hate group.
That is a logical extension.
I guess I shouldn't give them any ideas. Tyler, out of time. Thanks so much for joining us. Great article. I'm going to encourage people to take a look at it.
Thanks, Tony. Yeah, they can check out pjmedia.com.
Very good. Tyler O'Neill, PJ Media. Check it out. Don't go away. Coming back after this.
Picture it. Majestic beauty all around you. Wildlife, deep blue waters, glacial mountains, lush forests. Can you imagine the majesty of creation at every turn? Discover Alaska with FRC. You'll enjoy every moment of this unforgettable experience. Juno, accessible only by sea and air. Ketchikan and its impressive collection of Native American totem poles. Glacier Bay, a breathtaking wonder. All this, plus a behind-the-scenes look at what Family Research Council is doing in our nation's capital. You'll hear directly from FRC President Tony Perkins, General Jerry Boykin, and Michelle Bachmann. This is no ordinary vacation. You'll be vacationing with the FRC family and a lot of new friends. Be rejuvenated as we deepen our relationships with God and each other. Don't just get away. Get away with purpose on Family Research Council's Alaska Cruise, July 7th through 14th. Call 844-872-5155 to register today or visit us online at frc.org/Alaska.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy, from unicorns to the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. In FRC's analysis, 10 Myths on Abortion, join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to our other free resources, go to frc.org/connect.
I'm Tony Perkins, and this is Washington Watch. The website is tonyperkins.com. All right, in just a moment, I'm hoping we're going to be joined by Congressman Rodney Davis of Illinois. He is the ranking member on the House Administration Committee. Now, he's actually running a little bit late because the committee is going late, and they're dealing with H.R. 1. Now, it's in the Rules Committee today because it's going to move to the floor tomorrow. He's actually testifying right now in the Rules Committee. So if he breaks free, we're going to get him here on the program. What I'd like to do is and work with me, folks. We're going to go to the phones, but if the congressman is able to get out of the committee to come and join us to give us a rundown on H.R. 1, that's what we're going to do. Now, if I can't get him on, if he gets stuck in this committee, we'll try to get him on tomorrow, because I think this is important that you know what this bill does. And this is one of the top priority of the Democrats. And it is a sweeping piece of legislation that federalizes the nation's election system. It is, it's just far-reaching, and you need to know about it, okay? So this is what I want to do. I'm going to go to the phones, and I want to go back to my first story about Joe Biden's comments that Mike Pence is not a decent guy because he does not support LGBT rights. Now, let me put a little context here. Mike Pence is as I said earlier, Bible-believing Christian. He's not anti-LGBTQXYZ. He's not anti-anybody. But he's also not for giving special rights to people based upon their sexual behavior that would hinder, as we've seen in many cases, religious freedom. Now, one of the reasons he's hounded is because he initially signed a Religious Freedom Restoration Act when he was governor of Indiana, showing that the first freedom is, in fact, the first freedom. And it's interesting how just because you stand for biblical sexuality, which, by the way, is not just saying that homosexuality is not appropriate, but sex outside of marriage, outside of a man and woman being married, that's not appropriate. That's a biblical view of sexuality. That makes someone indecent? It used to be that the opposite view was indecent. So what do you think? Are you increasingly concerned about what the left is communicating? Do you see what they're going after, that they want to denigrate, marginalize every Bible-believing Christian? Now, maybe you've historically voted for members of that party. I want to know if you're beginning to question where that party is headed and if there's room for Bible-believing Christians in that party. I'd like to hear from you. I really would. 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. That's 866-FRC-RADIO. 866-372-7234. Now, maybe you've been a lifelong registered Democrat, and that's fine. You know, when I was elected to the legislature, which has been some time ago, it was back in 1996. In fact, as you know, Steve Scalise, the now minority whip, he and I were elected the same time. And I think out of 144 members of the legislature, we may have broke 30 in terms of Republicans. But we worked with Democrats. They were conservative Democrats. They were pro-God, pro-gun. You know, they had different fiscal views, but I actually share some of those views. But increasingly, as we've seen in the party platforms, there's no room for God. In fact, there's a disdain for him. And then as you see how the party has staked out this radical view on human life, I mean, are you still comfortable being in that party? Are they sending a message that there's no room for Bible-believing Christians in that party? Let me know. 866-372-7234, the number to call to get in on the conversation this afternoon. All right, let's go to Lenny in Houston, Texas. Lenny, welcome to Washington Watch. Lenny, go right ahead.
Yes, sir. I wanted to make a comment. Hopefully, maybe at some point I could do an interview with you folks concerning the answer to the Green New Deal. God's answer to the Democrats' Green New Deal is totally workable, and it wouldn't cost the government a dime. It would be carried out by churches. So,
well, that might be something. Let me get to, we'll get your contact information, and we'll talk with you about that when we get to the Green Deal. Right now, we're talking about the bad deal, and that is there's no room for Bible-believing Christians apparently with the left anymore. Lenny, thanks so much for the call. We'll follow up with you. Let's go to David in Oklahoma. David, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes, I was just calling. I hope that it'll be similar to what you're talking about, Tony. But, you know, we think it's just the Republicans sometimes who've lost their backbone. But I'd say Biden lost his that day, too, when he reneged on what he originally said concerning Vice President Pence. And, you know, I keep thinking back to that day when Brett Kavanaugh was so hard-pressed for somebody to say, I've got your back. And then here comes Lindsey Graham, who shot everybody out of the water. And I'll never forget that. And I pray, you know, as far as I'm concerned, Lindsey can run for president in 2024 because we just need some backbone there. And that was all. Thank you.
Well, David, that's a very good point, because I do think you're absolutely right that it's on both sides of the aisle. And I've often said this, that the greatest crisis, I think, in America is a lack of courage. And that's what we see. We see people capitulating. They, what we call back in South Louisiana, crawfishing. If you've ever seen a crawfish, they walk backwards. And so that's what they're doing. They're walking backwards. And, you know, Biden, well, I made this point in my my update. In fact, if you don't get my update, you need to get it. You can download it. Okay, great. Well, then you saw what I wrote there, and it was basically that the Democratic Party increasingly has become a puppet for the abortion industry and the LGBT community. They've got them on a string. I mean, look, they're even moving their lips. They're telling them what to say. And that should be frightening when you see how radical those agendas are. David, thanks so much for the call. Great point. Appreciate you listening to Washington Watch. And folks, if you don't get the update, you can go to TonyPerkins.com, sign up for it, or better yet, download the app, the Stand Firm app, and it'll be right there in your pocket. All right, let's go to Ray, and we're going to stay in Oklahoma City. Ray, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. I appreciate you taking my call.
Absolutely. What's on your mind?
I just had a question. You're talking about Democrats. I grew up in a family of Democratic people.
Mm-hmm.
And I changed eventually when I figured out what was going on. But you talk about Christian Democrats. How can a Christian be a Democrat? That was my question.
Well, that's my question too.
The things that they support.
I want to know people still feel comfortable in that party that has staked out positions that are antithetical to Scripture.
But are they really Christians?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think part of it is, you know, some people, like, let me use a home state of Louisiana, for instance, where up until 20 years ago, almost everybody was a Democrat. Now I would say local Democrats are still pretty conservative, but I think that the national party has driven a much more radical agenda. And I think many people have, especially elected officials, have left the Democratic Party, if they're conservative, and moved over to the Republican. I do think that's a soul-searching question, but I think it's also one that Republicans need to ask themselves as well to be prepared, because the party has actually shifted to the right, which is good. I think it's become more aligned with traditional biblical values. But if it departs, conservatives need to be willing to go elsewhere too. If need be,
how can I guess you're missing my point. How can you support the things that the Democratic Party support and still call yourself and still believe that you're a Christian? How can you support killing innocent children, babies, and still be a Christian?
I get your point. And that's what I'm asking people, if they still feel comfortable in that party, given the positions that they've staked out.
And I don't think that's the question you need to be asking.
Well,
being a Christian are two different things.
Well, if people are paying attention to what the party is actually doing, and so that's a part of what we're doing here, is trying to educate them as to what the party is doing and what the party is saying about them. Essentially, you're right. I think people should be leaving a party that has views and values that are 180 degrees from a Christian perspective, but I think it's come to a point now that the party is kicking those people out by saying, we don't want you.
They should be leaving by droves on their own.
Yeah, I get your point.
They're really Christian people.
That's a
topic. We should be discussing that on a nationwide basis every day. We should be discussing this topic.
All right. I got you, Ray. Well, we discussed it today.
Okay.
Thanks so much for calling.
Your time. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for listening. All right. Let's go to Mississippi, where Corey is on the line. Corey, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Mr. Tony. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
It used to be maybe a little ignorance is bliss type thing with the Democrats. In other words, maybe some people felt like they should be a Democrat because they were doing some good and on some social issues. But to me, where they have gone so far overboard with mainly abortion, and the fact that they will give no one any credit for anything unless it comes from them, but mainly the abortion issue. To agree with a man to kill a child. Happy birthday. That's supposed mm-hmm. to be the day when somebody's mm-hmm. born. It would be awful to have a child and not be able to say happy birthday because you literally killed that child on its birthday.
Yeah.
So,
and Corey,
I don't know how you can say ignorance is bliss.
Well, you can't. I mean, they know now. And what's happened, Corey, and thanks for the call, Corey. Appreciate you listening. What's happened is that over, really, during the Barack Obama years, there was a leftward lurch by the party on a number of issues, including abortion. If you hearken back to the Clinton years, early 90s, abortion was safe, legal, and rare. Well, the rarity was dropped during the Obama years because they wanted to make it they wanted to make it everywhere. And now it's celebrated as a right that everybody should have access to and paid for, by the way, by you. All right, but I'm working another call here. Let's go to Kelly. Kelly, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello. I am a registered Democrat. I'm from the state of Mississippi. And I am totally ashamed of the Democratic Party. I'm 48 years old, a delegate. I went to be a delegate in the last election. I can no longer hold my head up and say I'm a Democrat. We have gone so far out. I was a Democrat because I believe in helping people. I believe everybody should help others. That's our Christian duty. But when every person in the Democratic Party that's running for president right now didn't even acknowledge the right to live bill, that done it for me. I will no longer support the Democratic Party ever again.
Well, Kelly, thank you for listening and calling in and sharing that. I don't want to cut you off, but I want to quickly go to the staff director on the House Committee for Administration, Jen, who joins us Congressman Rodney Davis, still tied up in committee. So Jen is joining us. Jen, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you.
Just got a quick minute. Give us a quick rundown on where the bill stands.
So we're going to be considering the bill on the House floor this week. It's a 622-page bill that is a federal takeover of the election process by the swamp out here in Washington, D.C. And what all those pages in the bill does is aim to make sure that more Democrats register to vote and come out on Election Day and make it very hard for not only people to make sure they get their message out if they want to advocate on issues that Americans care about, but really puts the thumb on the scales and make it easier for Democrats to try to restrict free speech rights for Americans. And it has this terrible 6-to-1 government match that would fund campaigns, millions of dollars into candidates that the average taxpayer does not agree with.
Jen, we're going to have to leave it there. We're out of time, but I want to thank you for joining us and giving us that quick update. And hopefully we'll connect tomorrow with Congressman Davis to get more on the bill. Thanks so much for joining us. Folks, don't let that keep you up tonight, all right? Remember, we need to do our part. We need to pray. We need to take a stand for righteousness. And when we take our stand, when we've done everything we can do, you know what we're supposed to do? Just keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit tonyperkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.